This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Apparently, there is more Dan Patrick audio that we hadn't heard yet that we've got to play. Just never ends, guy.
It's a self-perpetuating loop.
It keeps on coming. Will Montgomery of the Washington Redskins joins us now, though. Monty, much appreciate a couple of minutes. Redskins getting ready for the Chargers. You played in the AFC West as a member of the Denver Broncos. You remember a thing or two about taking on the Chargers. How are things going, man? What have you been up to?
Well, you know, I think you guys miss me. You keep calling me back. You missed the good old days of last year when I was cozying up with you guys a couple days a week.
It was fun. We
this
do miss
true.
Those days.
It's a very tight studio, made even tighter by the fact that you're enormous, and we were much pudgier then, too.
Less enormous, though, because are you down? Are you down like 80 pounds?
Yeah, I'm down 80 pounds, and last year, Danny didn't like it when I spread my legs out and encroached into his space. There was a little buffer zone that Danny did not like, I feel like. So I think Danny likes this arrangement a lot better.
For everything you're saying is correct. You encroached like a defender on an Aaron Rodgers hard snap count. Your right leg got a little wide, got a little familiar with me. You know what happened. I know what happened. It was unspoken.
You know, you fooled around with me and pulled my headphones out a few times, too. So you're not exactly innocent in this whole thing.
Totally true.
Everybody's making good points.
That's fair.
Hey, Will, how common was it that you would have not liked a teammate or, you know, would have not gotten along with a teammate? There are stories out there, none of which I actually think are true, by the way, that Kirk Cousins' receivers currently don't like him. But I'm just wondering, like, things like that in the locker room, if that's a big deal, if it's not a big deal, kind of where you'd weigh in on that.
Well, I don't think you have to just say, you know, is it true in the locker room? I mean, think about any business where there's 100-plus employees. I'm sure there's going to be one or two guys that you don't exactly, you know, enjoy their company. You know, even on your own, you know, O-line or D-line, everybody comes from different walks, you know, and has different types of hobbies. You know, and I think you might really be kind of asking more about, like, a leadership role, like who can kind of nip those things in the bud, you know, and looking over my career. Obviously, I played with guys like Peyton Manning, Jake Delhomme, Chad Pennington. You know, London Fletcher was great at diffusing any of those little things. You know, and I think it really gets back to the media is the big distraction here because, like any family, whether it's your football family or your actual family with your brothers and sisters, there's going to be little squabbles here and there. But what these NFL teams need to do and what Coach Bill Belichick does the greatest job of it is not airing anybody's dirty laundry. You know, into the media, you know, especially Peyton Manning, he would make sure that everybody was on the same page. When we were sitting down, you know, eating at the cafeteria, none of the TVs were set to Sports Center. So especially after a loss, you didn't want to see, you know, all the costly mistakes. You know, and personally, when I was playing, I was off of the Twitter, off of the Facebook, off of all that stuff, because if you're a player in today's age, you know, and you're checking your Twitter, you're checking your Facebook, you know, you're going to eat lunch and you're checking the TV, and you can't get away from all the distractions, even if most of them are fake. People will throw out fake distractions just to talk about it and try to control the next news cycle.
Our buddy, longtime NFL offensive lineman Will Montgomery with us here on Grant and Danny. Will, I'm always fascinated by this because everyone approaches it differently. You guys were all pros, obviously, and they're pros now, and you were a pro for nearly a decade, man. You were on good teams or on bad teams. What I always find it so hard is when it's the situation like this for the Redskins, when the season's basically over, they're almost mathematically eliminated, but everyone knows it's unrealistic for them to make the postseason. How, besides the fact that you're a professional, you're getting paid to do it, what's the sort of mindset with coming and still, you know, doing everything you possibly can to get a win, preparing yourself and going through all that stuff? How did you, A, find the motivation? B, what was the mindset of you and maybe some other guys to kind of stay with it here over these last couple of weeks and keep chopping wood?
Right. Well, unfortunately, through my career, I've been on a lot of poor teams. And I made the playoffs two times in my 10-year career, but more often than not, those last four games of the season were basically just an interview for the next season. I mean, unless you're currently on an $80 or $100 million deal, you know, realistically, everybody is interviewing for their jobs next year. You're playing for pride. You want to try to stay injury-free if possible. You know, and I've heard through the grapevine from players and general managers and, you know, on these games like this, especially people who are going to be free agents next year, those GMs will take a hard look at those last couple games of the season and see what kind of effort a guy is playing with when he knows nothing is on the line. Because when nothing is on the line, if the guy is going, you know, balls to the wall, you know that he will do the, you know, obviously play hard for you when there is stuff on the line. So, unfortunately, for most of the league, these last couple weeks are just exhibition games and really a job interview for next season. And you kind of get to see what the coaches are thinking, too. Are they coaching for their jobs? Are they going to leave these starters in there who have been battling injuries? Or are they going to give the starters a break and get a nice look at the backups? Well, if you do that, then you kind of risk losing, you know, risk losing your job. So that's interesting from a coach's and a player's perspective.
Well, could you tell, like on a Wednesday or Thursday of practice at the end of the season, if guys weren't practicing in the same way that they had previously? And along those lines, I mean, is that something that would happen where if I saw a practice in week four as opposed to a week 15 of a year where you weren't going to the playoffs, do they look any different?
You know, I think they'll look different regardless. I know towards the end of the season, everybody is a little bit banged up, and I know people talk about practicing with the full pads or, you know, now you can only put the pads on once a week. I think when you're in the playoff hunt, it's fun. You're out there. People are running around. You know, people have swagger who normally don't have swagger. But when you're out of it, it is kind of mentally draining, you know, for coaches and players alike, because you know there's nothing on the line besides interviewing for your job and trying to stay healthy. And that's a problem in itself, because if you kind of lay up on a certain play or you're not practicing that hard, a lot of times you're more susceptible to injury if you are taking it easy. So I think, I mean, you're definitely not going to see Ryan Kerrigan shutting it down. And, you know, obviously guys like that. So there's some guys who they'll keep swinging that axe no matter what the scenario is. And there's other guys who will take the easy road out and maybe not practice as hard, not play as hard. And I don't think that's just the case for the NFL or for the Redskins. I think that's, you know, in any case, and you look at your radio industry, there's probably some guys that towards the end of the week take it easy and they just decide to call me and fill a segment versus prep for their own segment.
It's well said, Will.
It's very apt.
I think that's well said.
Absolutely, Smurfly. Hey, just give me your general assessment here of this Redskins season. How was the story that when you tell people about this in 10 years, and you talk about this year, what's it going to be? Is it, man, they were so banged up, what could have been? Or is it something different? Is it they missed their opportunities? Kind of give me your story of the season, Will.
Well, I really do think it's, you know, what could have been with the injuries. You know, I can't list all the injuries, but offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, running back, you know, tight ends, obviously your new receiving core. But regardless through all that, Kirk has still put up the numbers, so he was still able to move the ball. They were still able to be competitive in a lot of ball games. I mean, there's only a few ball games where they were out of it. So, I mean, hypothetically, they could have won just about every game except for maybe three of them. So that, you know, and especially the way the defense was playing this year, they were keeping teams low on the score total. So this really is that what could have been type of season, I believe, especially if they could have stayed healthy. But, you know, really, that's the way it goes across the NFL. I mean, every year you look at the Super Bowl winning teams and they have a bunch of guys in IR. So you have to be able to weather those storms. Hopefully you don't get those injuries at those key positions that prevent you from getting over the hump.
Will, thanks, buddy. Good having you back on the show as always. We'll
always
see you
good, man.
Sunday morning at
right,
Fox. Excuse me. I'll get through it. I think I'll be all right.
We're all right.
Tom looks at me and goes, what is going on?
It's just poorly timed. Poorly timed throat frog.
Dan Patrick isn't coughing on Mike.
No, he's not. That's because he's in the major leagues, Tommy. That's national stuff. They don't cough on Mike there. Grant and Danny on the fan.
Greg Paulson cough, not Grant.
I would never cough.
You've never coughed
now,
ever.
Greg has done it a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I think he lived and he learned.
Yeah, Greg's amateur hour.
We're going to look at some of the best matches of the weekend. There are some great football
games. Good
games
this weekend, man.
You're listening to the fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We'll wrap up the show, final half hour, with your look at the Week 14 games ahead, previewing some predictions, Redskins and Chargers. But, Tommy, I believe you got some new, fresh audio.
Here we go.
That we had not yet gotten from Dan Patrick, so let's listen to this.
We're shooting our Super Bowl commercials yesterday, and all of a sudden McLovin goes, hey, did you see this? So now he shows me Dan Patrick hammering Kirk Cousins and then spelled it C-U-R-T. And I went, hey, that's not spelled C-U-R-T. It's K-R-R. Oh, okay. So I said Kirk Cousins. And apparently I didn't over-enunciate to get that other K in there. And then I started reading down of all the things I said. I went, well, wait, I said all these other nice things about Kirk Cousins. That didn't get included. And then I get a call from somebody in the Washington media saying, did the Redskins front office reach out to you and give you that information? I'm like, no. And I wouldn't trust that source to begin with because they'd have an ulterior motive. So just a weird day. We had a great Super Bowl shoot. The commercials are going to be great. But in my mind, I'm thinking, I was bummed that I was mispronouncing or giving the impression. Now, this guy's the only person who's ever said, hey, you're saying Kirk Cousins, not Kirk Cousins. Okay? Technically, correct. Nitpicking, maybe. And the fact the headline said I was hammering Kurt Cousins. It was kind of a weird day. And so I came in and I was a little fired up about it. And then Paulie goes, you sure you want to do it? And I go, it's Friday. Let's have some fun. So to Grant or Greg Paulson, hey, you called me out for one good reason, but you left out all the other reasons why you probably never should have called me out. So have a great weekend and go Redskins.
He still thinks I wrote this story, apparently.
That can't be. That has to be what it is.
It has to be.
It can't
be
anything else. He believes that somehow you are the 24/7 sports story.
I think so.
That quotes your tweet.
Nothing else makes sense. He's referring to the use of the term hammered again.
Nobody,
he's saying you left out. He said, I chased down the story. He thinks I wrote the story that used my tweet and wrote its own story. That is what he thinks happened. And we're sitting here hoping and waiting for a phone call. I guess I'm going to have to reach out to Andrew Perloff, McLovin. And I'm just going to have to try to get a hold of him and see if perhaps he'll get me in touch with Dan Patrick. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I mean, I can't imagine being in your shoes, first of all, but I'm frustrated because I want to be like, Dan, do you realize we agree with almost everything? There's like 98% of the Venn diagrams. It's just one big shaded in circle.
Yeah.
We agree that Steve Smith and Marshall Faulk were ridiculous. We agree that that Cousins can play. We agree that he's a good guy. We agree
that
you didn't hammer him.
But none of that is important and matters, so I don't even want to waste time on
it. But I think it matters tremendously.
There are two things that matter.
Because
here,
he's responding to us as though we disagree with those things, and to you specifically. No one disagrees with that part.
He is upset about the Kurt things. He thought that was a jerk thing to do. Fine. Is that worth spending 7 minutes on your national radio show talking about? Probably not. But let's say that it is. Here is what can't happen. You cannot then say that I wrote a headline I didn't write or that I used hammered when I didn't. By the way, that headline has been changed by whoever wrote it. So whoever wrote
has
that headline, yeah, I just saw in Blue Shorts' story, they've changed the headline of that story.
Take me away.
So now I'm sure, by the way, that all his listeners are going to come say, I changed the headline and I'm running away or something ridiculous.
You see Grant backtrack on his story? It's because Dan showed him what's what. I don't know, dude.
Here is what happened. He floated something irresponsible based on a third-party source. Correctly at that time, we had people calling in saying, might be Bruce Allen. And I said, no, it's not. He's talking to a media member. He talked to Marshall Faulk, or he talked to Mike Florio, or he talked to someone who heard from someone. And if I had to guess, and that's all this is speculating and guessing, this is no information. It's important to point those things out. I would bet he talked to either Falk or Florio, who at some point talked to Drew Rosenhaus, who was a representative of Terrell Pryor, or before that, you know, DeSean Jackson years ago, or has some relationship with someone, or maybe Pierre Garçon's agent, or someone at some point said something to one of those guys. And they said to Dan Patrick, hey, Kirk Cousins occasionally gets his receivers blown up like every other quarterback in football, so they don't like playing for him for that reason. And he just floated that out there. Again, I don't have a national radio platform like he does. My name is not Dan Patrick's, and not even close. But if I reported everything I heard from someone that just gave me an opinion of theirs who covers football, hey, man, I talked to someone one time, and they said blank. Do you know how many clicks I could get blue shorts? You know how many things that we could perpetuate around the country? Talking to agents every couple of nights, talking to players via text all the time. These things happen constantly. Constantly. They don't get floated out there because most of them are just people saying things, spouting off that don't really mean anything. And that's kind of what I thought of that, I don't use the word report, story that came out on Dan Patrick's show. And I said at the exact same time, I respect him, I like him, I look up to him, I listen to his show. He didn't lie about this. He just heard from someone. And I just think this is kind of a lazy game of telephone, and he threw something out there. That's all I thought. And somehow it has turned into today him throughout the day talking about me and our show as if we wrote a blog we didn't write.
So let me pick it up from your response, which includes a tweet, basically says, hey, you pronounce Dan Patrick, who I like, pronounce his name wrong.
Don't you think he's really hurt by that?
No.
He's the good king about that.
So the tweet basically again is, you pronounce his name wrong. I don't necessarily buy this story. And if it is true, it's from a bunch of scrubs, so who cares what they think?
Right.
That third one, by the way, is my big takeaway. So from that creates the brand new situation, which is outlets, because this is what we do now. It's no longer independent reporting. Journalism is dead. It's now aggregating. Everybody wants to find an opinion based on what someone else said. So if Skip Shoot My Mouth Off or Shannon Sharp says something or Stephen A. Smith calls somebody a bunch of names that end in ING, whatever it is, that's now quoted and then a little bit of opinions written in it now passes for what stories are, what journalism is, etc. I don't know much about this outlet 24/7 Sports. I'm not trying to be critical of them. I'm simply saying this is what happened. You say something, that person then takes what you said, takes what Dan Patrick said, adds his own 2 cents, which again, this is what we do now. This is societa. This is our sports coverage. And now Dan, who we all really like, think is really good, is reacting to that story as if it is
me.
Grant contracts this dude to write his puff pieces for him or something.
But in the meantime, Dan Helly, who lives in Los Angeles, is saying, why does Dan Patrick hate you? What'd you do to Dan Patrick? Nothing. I did nothing. He is mistakenly saying I'm writing a story that I'm not writing over and over again while saying I'm being disingenuous and I don't know how the game works and whatever else he's saying about do your homework and get your facts right. How about know that I'm not the person? There's a byline on that story, by the way. Did they print that for you when they showed it to you? Because my name's not on it, dude. It's not. But doesn't it seem like he still thinks I wrote that story as this audio continues to come out?
It's the only explanation that makes any sense. And again, we really, really hope he comes on because, hey, again, it'd be cool to talk to Dan Patrick. But the other part is I want to make sure that he's aware of that because if he says, yeah, of course I know that, then we have to say, then who are you responding
then
to?
Then what are you talking about?
Who are you arguing with?
That would be my next question. Do you understand that I have nothing to do with it? Here would be hilarious.
So I am looking at the story, by the way, on 24/7. Yeah. It's a different headline. It says now, says
I know,
Dan Patrick.
I told you that.
But now I'm actually seeing it. Dan Patrick calls Kurt Cousins on radio show. It's different than
calls
Hammers.
Out.
No, just says Dan Patrick calls Kurt Cousins on radio show. Doesn't say Hammer, doesn't anything else. That's what it's been changed to. Fascinating.
That is great. I changed it, didn't I?
I don't even want, I probably shouldn't even say the guy's name that did it.
Why would you call him out? He's just
Greg Paulson.
Yeah, I'm not trying to
Greg
get anybody
Paulson
in trouble.
Is the guy. Call out Greg Paulson.
This is what a bizarre situation.
Again.
What a weird series of days.
How many of these happen because of the lack of an understanding of just how attribution works in 2017?
But you know Dan knows.
He knows, but this is an issue.
But this is happening.
This is where we are.
It's not like it's not happening. It's happening.
Here is how the interview would go if he called in. My first question would be, Dan, do you know that article you're referring to in the headline was a company that I have no idea who they are or what they do, and has nothing to do with me. And if he says, oh, you didn't write that? And then I say, no, I had nothing to do with that. He'd be like, oh, okay. This is a big misunderstanding. That would make for bad radio, but there's a chance it could end that way.
Yeah, and then we were just like, remember when you were on SportsCenter? It was awesome.
Yeah.
Remember that time you said gone? That was great.
The other way it could go is he says, yeah, I understand that. And then I would go, okay, then what issue do you have with what I said?
Then you realize that nobody here on our program accused you of hammering Kirk Cousins. Everybody Kirk agrees Cousins. With you about
now, I think
Steve
it was
Smith
irresponsible
and Marshall Faulk.
For him to float that.
We'd have to get to – that's what we'd have to get to.
Absolutely.
Is that point.
I think that was kind of an irresponsible thing to do because my allegation was this didn't come from a source that plugged in on this. This came from a third party.
And he even says that today.
Yeah, and he admitted that today, which gives more credence to the fact that I don't think floating something that is so serious to, as he said, 15 million people is a good idea. Man. Brent and Danny, 106.7 The Fan.
Kirk Cousins.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Around the NFL we go. Week 14, there are some great games. Let's run through them all. We'll highlight some of the best as we go. An ugly one to start, though. Colts, Bills in Buffalo. 3-9 Indianapolis. 6-6 Buffalo hosts. Nathan Peterman likely to start. Tyrod Taylor leaving with an injury this past week. This is going to be ugly. Buffalo still got a chance at the playoffs. They need a win. They'll be over 500 at 7-6 if they can get it.
They've been Tom Petty free-falling. Shout out to him. Chicago Bears at the Cincinnati Bengals. Another gross, disgusting, terrible game. Very, very terrible game. It's an awful game, believe me. Cincinnati favored by 6 in that one, over under a mere 38.5. It's because Chicago's offense is about as imaginative as a person with no imagination. They're gross. Cincinnati's okay. Looks like Joe Mixon in that one. Cincinnati just kind of flailing through another season. Marvin Lewis, the seat's a little warmer than it probably we're used to seeing for a guy that's got an incredible amount of job security. Been on the job for approaching 2 decades now.
Vikings 10-2, Panthers 8-4 in Carolina. Matchup of a couple very likely NFC playoff teams. This is going to be a great test for Case Keenum in this offense. If they can slow down the run of Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon, Keenum has to sling it around to win. What kind of day can he have? He's got 2,700 passing yards and 16 touchdowns. He's performing beautifully running Minnesota's offense. Adam Thielen is over 1,000 yards, 74 catches. Stephon Diggs could end up right around 1,000 yards this season. He's leading their wideouts with 5 touchdowns at this point. Cam Newton hasn't been playing great football within the pocket, but they're trying to establish more of a vertical passing game. Life without Kelvin Benjamin moving on. Devin Funchess, a lot of checkdowns to Christian McCaffrey and throws in the middle of the field to Ed Dixon and Greg Olsen, who is back.
Green Bay's still alive. They're still dancing. They're hoping Aaron Rodgers can come back. If Brett Hundley could squeeze out yet another win, great chance to do it. At Cleveland, who just fired their GM and gave their head coach, who's 1-27, a vote of confidence. I'm very sure about that. Green Bay field goal favorites on the road at Cleveland, but Green Bay's running the football well. Their young draft pick, Jamal Williams, has really gotten after it here, especially of late, over 100 yards last week. The receivers that are much ballyhooed haven't contributed very much because Brett Hundley stinks at throwing the football. That is a thing, but it might be enough to beat Cleveland, who, by the way, is pretty good against the run. This one might be UGLY as well.
Raiders, Chiefs in Kansas City, 2-6-6 teams. The winner of this game will be tied for the lead in the AFC West. Worst case scenario, they might have sole possession at 7-6 if the Redskins can surprise the Chargers in L.A. Raiders in KC at Arrowhead Stadium behind Derek Carr, Marshawn Lynch, and an offense that is banged up at the wide receiver position. Seth Roberts last week with a cast off from Minnesota who played at Tennessee. Whose name is
Cordarrelle Patterson.
There it is. Cordarrelle Patterson making catches.
Don't sleep.
For the Chiefs, Alex Smith is coming off of an awesome game. four touchdowns, 360 through the air, rushed for 70 yards, 23 touchdown passes on the season. Kareem Hunt has slowed down completely.
Yes.
He will get to 1,000 with 70 yards rushing in this game. And Tyreek Hill bounced back. He and Travis Kelce, two guys with 60 catches in that Kansas City huddle, both combining for 13 touchdowns, looking to have big days against the Raiders.
Before the season starts, let's say you and me are having a little conversation, right? We're going, hey, you know what I'm looking forward to is the Week 14 matchup that very well could be for the NFC East. It's Dallas at New York. I think the Giants are going to win the division. They're going to be a team that is surprising everybody because of how good they are defensively. Dallas will be trailing them but have a chance to come back. Zeke Elliott, Dak Prescott, marquee matchup. That's what it turned into. It's basically a battle of, that's what them Cowboys do, versus, let me tell you something, Eli's back for the Giants. It's going to be friggin' outstanding. He's going to trophy like 300 yards. They're going to get a bunch of first downs. Stevie Spags, bro. Terrible game. Ooh, disgusting. I hate these teams. Who knows if the Giants have a dead cat bounce just to show that it really was a Ben McAdoo ineptitude situation. I don't know. I think the Cowboys win. They're favored by a field goal and the hook.
Speaking of disappointing teams, this game might feature two bigger disappointments.
Oh, it's the most disappointing.
Detroit, Tampa Bay, at Raymond James Stadium in Florida. Lions, Bucks. Lions 6-6 got off to a great start and have collapsed despite a soft schedule. The Bucks. Hard Knocks, everyone was watching, enjoying, saying they were going to a NFC playoff berth.
I was so bamboozled.
Well, Matt Stafford is going to try to play through pain, has an injury to his throwing hand. Amir Abdullah can't run the ball. Theo Riddick may get the call out of the backfield. Marvin Jones is their big play threat, 17 yards per catch. Golden Tate is their possession guy, 71 receptions on the season. Eric Ebron's inconsistent, but often targeted in the red area with some matchups. For Tampa Bay, you got too many weapons to be this ineffective on offense.
What is going on?
Jameis Winston, Doug Martin, Jaquizz Rodgers, Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, Cameron Brait, Adam Humphries. What are we doing here, Harry? They are a team that might get their coach fired. Dirk Cutter's in trouble if they don't turn things around in the last four.
So you've had a couple good games as we go through this 1 o'clock slate. I've talked about Chicago, Cincinnati, Green Bay, Cleveland, Dallas, New York, and here's another crappy game. We said there were good games this weekend. I've gotten to talk about zero good ones. Here's another bad one. San Francisco at Houston. I guess there's a little bit of intrigue because it's a Jimmy Garoppolo show, and I still don't know what San Francisco's plan is. I think it's just enough. They're going to show just enough leg to get you enticed. They're going to show just enough to make people have their appetite a little wet. The wet the beak, so to speak, right? Just to make people excited about Jimmy Garoppolo, whether they want to re-sign him or dangle him out there or some sort of trade bait or his backup plans. I'm not really certain what their idea is, but he's going against Houston, who is terrible with Tom Savage and the Savage Nation. They're awful. Houston's defense is all banged up and beaten up. San Francisco favored by a field goal on the road. 44.5 is the over-under. Nobody thinks much of these defenses in this ballgame.
How about Titans-Cardinals? How about that for a little masterpiece?
There you go.
Of NFL football. Marcus Mariota, what do you want to be? Do you want to be a playoff-bound quarterback? Everyone sings your praises because you just win, though. Hand the ball off, protect the football, have your team play some good defense. Is that what you want to be? Cardinals. Carson Palmer, long out. Now onto their third quarterback in Blaine Gabbert, should not be standing between you and the postseason as an ominous task. Hurdle and leapfrog this team, get to 9-4 and get into the postseason.
I finally get a good one. I get a good game as we're going back and forth alternating. Thanks for giving me this little tiny gift. Seattle's going across these United States of America to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. Seattle, not quite dead yet. They've done this a couple times over the last few years. They're not quite the 14-2 juggernaut we're used to seeing, but they're still game. They're still frisky. They still got some pieces, still got some guys that can make a difference. They've struggled a couple times and kind of looked not Seattle-like. They've been good recently, and of course, their big win over Philadelphia this past week. But they got to go across these United States to the opposite corner to play a Jacksonville team that, frankly, mirrors them, is a worse version of them on offense. And defensively, Jacksonville may be the best team in the right now, Seattle. 2.5-point dogs on the road to Jacksonville.
Jets, Broncos, and Denver. This game will not be that fun to watch. New York is a surprising 5-7. The Broncos are a disappointing 3-9. Denver might get their coach fired. Vance Joseph needs some wins. They're looking for their ninth straight L this weekend if they don't turn something around. Have you seen Josh McCown's numbers this year?
They're sneaky, quiet, good.
He's quietly having an excellent age 38 season. 18 touchdowns, 8 picks, 2,800 yards, a 96 rating on a terrible team. It's kind of hard to do, to be honest with you.
This Robbie Anderson situation, by the way, you go, oh, look at that.
Good player.
We found a guy. He can play.
16 yards per catch, 820 yards on the season. Jermaine Kearse, they traded from Seattle, has also been very good.
He's been good.
And Austin Seferian-Jenkins, when he's in the lineup and healthy as a tight end, can make plays for you. It's a problem and a matchup issue for other teams. Trevor Siemian has not been good. He will start again. The Broncos are just going to go down with the ship that is Siemian until Paxton Lynch is healthy enough to play. They're not going to go back to Brock Osweiler.
We promise you there are good games to talk about. We will do that next.
800-636-1067. You want to make your Redskins prediction for this weekend. Will they beat the Chargers? Will they lose? What's the score? Who's the MVP? And maybe, just maybe, Tommy will get to play a little hair to the Redskins. We'll do that next. Final few minutes of Grant and Danny. That was Jay Gruden at the podium yesterday out in Ashburn. We'll make our Redskins predictions in a moment. If you've got a call you'd like to make on the Redskins-Chargers game to be played on Sunday, dial us up at 800-636-1067. Finishing touches on some of the matchups of the weekend, though. Eagles-Rams could be your marquee game. This is the first meeting of number one pick Jared Goff, number two pick Carson Wentz. You go back a season ago with the kid quarterbacks. Wentz flourishing with 29 touchdown passes, already over 3,000 yards. Goff actually has more yards, 3,100 yards, 20 touchdowns. Both have been magnificent. Both getting plenty of help, obviously. In Goff's case, young, excellent, outstanding offensive coordinator, coach Sean McVay. And in the case of Carson Wentz of the Eagles, a good defense, a good running game, and some good weapons around them.
Creative design from Peterson. He's finding different guys able to get the ball. It's been a different running back seeming series to series, be it Clement, be it Barner, be it Ajayi, be it LeGarrette Blount, whatever it is. Alshon Jeffery is a constant. Zach Ertz has been great for them as well. Kind of throughout the season, that's been some of the mainstays. For the Rams, it's the same thing except with receivers. Todd Gurley is excellent. He is awesome. He's finally unleashed. Thank goodness he got free of Jeff Fisher and their mundane, pedestrian, barely high school offense, and he got a real adult in there in someone that's probably 40 years younger than Jeff Fisher is in terms of Sean McVay. Things are opened up, and they're looking up for these Rams.
Eagles, who do you think wins this game?
Eagles coming off a loss means to me that I think they'll sense the desperation. Minnesota now has the number one seed.
One weird thing, though, they stayed out west the entire week.
It is weird.
So it's not like a normal week where they've been at home training in their complex. They stayed out there. I don't know that that necessarily helps. I'll also say, though, the Rams had to cancel their Wednesday practice, which is your most important practice, because of the wildfires in Los Angeles.
Oh, my.
So it's
not
like they've had normal preparation for this game.
God, that literally didn't cross my mind. Rams favored by two in this game. So, to me, Philadelphia will have the, it's one of those, like a number one overall seed. Like, let's say a Kentucky in basketball has been kicking everybody's butt all season long. Then they have a weird upset right before their conference tournament. Sometimes that can be good, where you go, you know what? We can't just mail it in. We can't just give 80% and walk out there and beat people. We're good, but we're reminded that we're vulnerable. That can almost make you play better in the following week. They were reminded that they're still beatable. I think they go out and beat the Rams. I really do.
The Eagles are better and they should win. I'm going to pick the Rams in a 28-27, 30-27 kind of game.
What a matchup,
like
though.
That. It's going to be fun. Steelers hosting the Ravens, AFC. This is one of your slobber knockers where these two teams are going to be throwing punches all night long, maybe literally and figuratively. Baltimore 7-5, Pittsburgh 10-2. Steelers, Juju Smith-Schuster to miss a game.
Now, we all know how famous, like people care about me or know who I am. Let me rephrase. We all know how chronically, I'm very famous for this. No one knows me, no one cares.
Please tell me this isn't the Colts thing.
This is, I'm giving you the tingle feel.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm telling you, when I get tingles, they're wrong. I'm not quite as bad as Cakes.
How many times has Danny brought up his tingle on the Colts from the AFC title game 4 years ago?
Will you let me do it or not?
I just want to ask them how many times you brought it up.
I'm not.
Dar?
It's not a small number.
No. Tommy, how many times have you heard that?
It's a lot.
I've heard it a lot.
Okay. Go ahead, Danny.
Point is, when I get tingles, they're wrong. My tingle is that Pittsburgh is due for one of these letdowns where they get behind and can't come back. They've been toying with teams and getting behind the eight ball a couple different times, and they found a way to beat the crappy Colts. They found a way to beat the Bengals, who aren't very good. I think Baltimore sneaks into Pittsburgh and gets this one. Now, watch Pittsburgh finally unleash and be awesome and torch this Baltimore Ravens defense that's got as many shutouts, by the way, as their 2000 Super Bowl team did. They've got as many shutouts this season as the '03 Patriots and the 2000 Ravens, two of the great defenses that you'll ever see assembled.
It's a good nugget.
The Steelers, though, have been toying around with people and are due for one of these setbacks where you can't get behind too much. Now, of course, watch that mean that Pittsburgh rolls. Because I got a tingle, and we know my tingle stick.
I got the Steelers 30-13, nah, maybe 30-17 winners over Baltimore.
Over under 44, they're favored by 4.5 at home.
Yeah, I think they cover, and they go over largely because they score 30. All right, prediction on the Redskins and the Chargers. I'm going to say the Los Angeles Chargers win the game 30-23. I think that the Redskins defense struggles to stop the run. I think it's a tough day to move the ball through the air. It's a Samaje Perine or bust kind of day. I say the Chargers win the game 30-23, but the Redskins will battle and fight, and they'll make you proud in that regard, and then a lot of people will be mad because they lose anyway, even though this is not a game they should win.
Similar script, 27-20, Chargers are good. The Redskins are not. I know why. We are aware of what happened and how we got here.
We've covered that.
Yeah, we have gone through that. We have a show weekdays, 10-2 on 106.7 The Fan here in Washington, D.C. We have gone through the reasons why we're here, but we are here nonetheless. I don't think they'll be able to stop the Chargers. Maybe early snow where they do stop them, and then after that, the Chargers will figure it out. Keenan Allen, big day. Gordon, big day. I bet Eichler has a big day out of the backfield. Henry catches a touchdown,
et cetera. Oh, my guy, Austin Eckler.
Yeah, so I think the Redskins maybe a late touchdown to make it closer than it is. Chargers win handling.
I agree with you, by the way, that Austin Eckler, well done, Tommy.
Thank you, Tom.
Is going to catch like 9 balls.
I'm pretty annoyed about it, by the way.
When's the last time the Redskins have handled a back like that well? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Darren Sproles in his prime. If there was Chris Thompson got to play against them, that kind of guy.
One Darren Sproles game against Philly where, like, you just kind of looked at the scoreboard. You kind of looked at the stats as the game was going. You're going, you realize they're stopping Darren Sproles. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. You know, it was lucky.
I could see it. I could see Austin Eckler going for, like, 10 catches for 92 yards and a touchdown. Something crazy like that out of the backfield. We got our new podcasting system reworked. Remember, you can listen 1 hour at a time. So if you missed any part of today's show, which ended up being dominated by audio from Dan Patrick's show and us reacting
to it. Yeah, if you missed the Dan Patrick show, tune into our podcast.
GrantandDanny.com/audio. Thanks to Tommy and Brendan behind the scenes, as always, for their hard work.
For Jeeps, Brendan Thalm, I'm Danny. CDBTW is up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.